And now it's time for Highlights from Christian History with Michael Goins. It has been said that a people that forgets its history loses its identity. And without a doubt, contemporary confusion about what it means to be a Christian, and even a Baptist, may be directly traced to the idea that the past is irrelevant to the modern world. In such a climate, intent on deconstructing history, we are more convinced than ever that an understanding of our rich history is of paramount importance. So we're glad that you've joined us for this edition of Highlights from Christian History. Here's Brother Goins with today's segment.
Our topic today on Highlights from Christian History is the Baptists in Europe. And we continue in this period, AD 1500 to 1700. The quiet faith of the Anabaptists. There is perhaps no more maligned group of Christians than the Anabaptists. Virtually every church historian speaks derogatorily of them. None can dispute, however, that during the Protestant Reformation, Anabaptist groups maintained a quiet existence, separate and apart from Catholics and Protestants alike, as a part of the free church tradition. Anabaptists, meaning rebaptizers, because they rebaptized people who had been sprinkled as infants, thrived in Germany, the Netherlands, and other parts of Europe. The Encyclopedia Britannica states that the persecutions they endured were incomparably fiercer than any of the larger Protestant bodies ever underwent. Catholics deemed them rebels because they spurned pedobaptism, refused to acknowledge the authority of pope or councils, and insisted on the principle of separation between church and state. Protestants deemed them heretics, traitors, and dangerous radicals. Indeed, some of the doctrinal and political excesses that characterized certain Anabaptists occasioned Protestant disdain, but most were virtuous, pious, and blameless followers of Christ. Elder Sylvester Hassell states in Hassell's Church History that the Anabaptists were generally poor, laboring people, and their ministers were generally uneducated and labored with their own hands. There was one notable exception to this, however. The most learned and eloquent minister among the Anabaptists was one Balthasar Hubmaler. He had left Catholicism first, then Protestantism, because he could not find infant baptism taught in the New Testament. He received believer's baptism among the Anabaptists and subsequently baptized several hundred others. The reputable historian Philip Schaff says, "He was perhaps the first who taught the principle of universal religious liberty on the ground that Christ came not to kill and to burn, but to save, and condemned the employment of force in his kingdom. He was tortured in Switzerland and burned in Vienna, March 10, 1528, going steadfastly to the stake with pious joy. His wife, who had encouraged him in his martyr spirit, was 3 days afterward drowned in the Danube." Perhaps the most celebrated Anabaptist minister of the 16th century was Menno Simons. A Catholic priest, Simons witnessed the beheading of an Anabaptist and was led on a biblical quest to justify the practice of infant baptism. Conscience compelled him to abandon Catholicism and to unite with the despised Anabaptists in 1536. He traveled extensively throughout Europe, establishing churches, instructing them against revolutionary activities, and insisting on a strict gospel discipline in each congregation. His churches, who called themselves Mennonites, were independent in church government, and some practiced feet washing. In spite of various heresies charged on the Anabaptists, such as Manichaeism, Millenarianism, Arianism, Arminianism, Asceticism, Universalism, and Libertinism, the belief subscribed to by the main body of Anabaptists may be deduced from the Swiss Confession of 1527 and the Mennonite Confession of 1580. They were as follows: baptism of believers, exclusion of unworthy members, communion of baptized believers, separation from impure churches and the world, the support of needy pastors by the voluntary offerings of the members, the condemnation of Christians holding civil office, obedience to civil magistrates except in cases when their commands violated religious conviction, the disuse of oaths, a rejection of the use of arms, a rejection of lawsuits, a rejection of all forms of violence and worldly amusement, a rejection of divorce except in cases of adultery. Elder Hassell comments, while the true Anabaptists or Mennonites of the 16th century had great spiritual light on most other subjects, Bible Baptists of today believe that they were generally in the dark in regard to the conditionality of salvation, the bitter persecutions inflicted upon them inconsistently and unscripturally by the Lutherans, Calvinists, and Anglicans who profess to believe the doctrine of predestination, did not incline them to receive that Bible doctrine, nor indeed did they seem to devote any particular attention to its consideration. The Anabaptists nevertheless demonstrate a witness for believers' baptism, congregational independence, and other Baptist distinctives, separate and apart from both Catholicism and Protestantism at the very time of the Reformation. As such, their history provides a valuable insight into a line of church history beyond the classical context of reference. Baptists in the Welsh Midlands. When most historians discuss Baptists in Europe in the 16th and 17th centuries, they limit their focus to English Baptists. A more obscure, yet equally viable, and arguably more pure Baptist influence, however, existed in Wales at the same time. Unlike many of the English Baptists, the Welsh Baptists were careful to distinguish themselves from the Reformation. John Howells, former pastor of Olcan Baptist Church in the Olcan Valley, located on the Wales-England border, wrote, "The genuine Baptist Church needed no Reformation, for it never deformed or degenerated itself." In his History of the Welsh Baptists, Jonathan Davis wrote, "We know that at the Reformation they had a minister named Howell Vaughan, quite a different sort from Erbury, Roth, Vavasor Powell, and others, who were the great reformers, but had not reformed so far as they ought to have done, in the opinion of the Olcan Baptists. We know that the reformers were for mixed communion, but the Olcan Baptists received no such practices. In short, these were plain, strict, apostolic Baptists. They would have order and no confusion, the word of God their only rule." Most historians who mention the Welsh Baptists cite the fact that their churches were situated in the mountainous regions and thus were relatively inaccessible to pervasive traffic from outsiders, as the reason they were largely unaffected by the doctrine and practices of the reformers. J.R. Graves wrote in Orchard's History, "Welsh Baptists contend that principles of the gospel were maintained pure and unalloyed in the recesses of their mountainous principality all through the dark reign of popery." And Cathcart wrote in his history, "It is commonly believed that all through the dark reign of popery, in the seclusions of her valleys and the fastnesses of her mountains, there were those who preserved the ancient purity of doctrine and worship." Why is it important to document the existence of Baptists in the Welsh Midlands who were largely unaffiliated with the English Baptists of the 17th century? It is important because many of the English Baptists, as we will note, tended toward ecumenism. The political situation in England made it necessary for English Baptists to align themselves with Presbyterianism, as the English Baptist ministers who signed the London Confession of Faith in 1687 admitted in the preface, quote, "And finding no defect in this regard, in that fixed on by the assembly," that is, the Westminster Assembly, "and after them by those of the congregational way," that is, the Savoy Declaration of Faith, "we did readily conclude it best to retain the same order in our present confession, hereby declaring before God, angels, and men our hearty agreement with them in that wholesome Protestant doctrine which, with so clear evidence of scriptures, they have asserted." The result was a document that was almost a verbatim copy of the Westminster Confession of Presbyterians. Olcan Church is generally considered the mother church of other Welsh Baptists. Documentation exists connecting the churches of the Welsh Midlands, including Hereford, Tewkesbury, Morton, Burton, and Leominster, with Olkin Church, so that it may be safely assumed that these churches were in general doctrinal agreement. What did the Welsh Baptists believe? Besides a common conviction for the practice of believers' baptism and closed communion, they espoused salvation by grace alone, apart from human agency. Owen writes concerning the Midland Brethren, stating that they could find no scope in their rigorous creed for the operation of any human agency in winning the unconverted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. God saves all who are predestinated, and no man can help or hinder his sovereign and effectual grace. In 1655, the seven churches comprising the Midland Association in Wales composed a confession of faith from which the key points of emphasis of Welsh Baptist theology may be deduced. Those points are as follows. The doctrine of the Trinity. The inspiration and sufficiency of Scripture. The doctrine of inherent depravity. The doctrine of sovereign and unconditional election. The incarnation of Christ for the purpose of redeeming the elect. The inability of men apart from regenerating grace to believe. Justification by Christ alone, apprehended, that is, understood or subjectively grasped, by faith. The bodily resurrection and heavenly session of Christ. And the final resurrection of the dead. A careful examination of the Midland Confession of 1655 reveals an amazing similarity to modern-day primitive Baptist theology.
Thank you for joining us today for this brief snapshot from the past. Please join us again soon for another episode of Highlights from Christian History.